Well, welcome. Good afternoon. I'm glad we could gather together to remember and celebrate the life of Regina and to find comfort from the Lord and from each other and in the midst of remembering her. And so I'd like to just to start us off, read the 23rd Psalm as our call to worship. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let me pray for us. Father, we ask that you would be present with us here this afternoon as we remember Regina's life, as we give testimonies to her, and Lord, as we sing songs that ask you to draw near to us and to help us in our grief and our situation of understanding how death has taken her. Lord, we pray that you would be with us, that you would show us your compassion, your love, that you would reveal yourself to us in fresh and comforting ways. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of
could have a seat for a moment. Let me read a few scriptures that Alice and I picked out together for some time. First from Ecclesiastes 3. It says, "For there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And from the beginning in Genesis, Genesis 1 speaks of this, but Genesis 5 speaks about the dignity that all humanity has made in the image of God. When God created humanity, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them humanity when they were created. And then Psalm 103. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, and with those who keep his commandments and remember to obey his precepts. So we'll have three different remembrances of Regina now. And so, Allison, are you going to read Phillips for us?
Yes.
Okay.
Fortunately, that came up because I don't think I could do it from memory. This is by Regina's nephew, Philip D'Apolito. When I was a child, my Aunt Regina used to do everything with me. We would have so much fun. We did all sorts of activities, and every weekend was a new adventure. Often, we would go to New York City, and when we were in the city, we would volunteer at the New York Roadrunners Association, passing out water in Central Park. I remember one time we were going down to a race, and the Zodiac Killer was on the loose. And Regina looked at me and said, "Zodiac." And that became a joke with us. When I visited her at the nursing home this past March, I mentioned that about the Zodiac Killer to her, and the first thing she said was, "Zodiac." One time we went to Woodstock, New York, and wore tie-dye and hippie bracelets, and we ended up eating pizza and buying crystals. On another fun trip, we went camping and saw the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. We milked cows and fed a pig, and Regina bought me a new hat that I loved. And while I was feeding the pig, he grabbed my hat. And Regina grabbed him and made him drop it. We went through a lot together. I remember a cab in New York City blindsided my aunt one time and she almost died. My father, her brother, passed away when I was 5, and her parents passed away a few years later when I was a teenager. And then I went to North Carolina to live with Regina. And she took me and tried to show me the right way to live. I had chosen some paths that weren't good, and we had our differences of opinion about what was right. But I was the one who was wrong. I'm just glad that my aunt was able to see me get my life together before she passed on. There are so many memories that I have, and my aunt will always be a part of me. I'll always remember the good times and continue to be the man that my aunt wanted me to be. May she rest in peace.
And then Angela, you're going to come and give a remembrance. Thank you.
This is to Regina. You were my patient, my friend, and my sister from another mother. Don't a day pass that I don't think of you. You were person that had that beautiful smile and personality. Every day when I got to work, I was always looking forward to coming in, speaking to you, and taking care of you that day. We would always watch the Ellen DeGeneres show, or at least I would sneak and watch it. We've had some good times at Trayburn, and I will forever treasure those moments. You always told me I was one of your favorite CNAs, and I would always ask you why, and you would grin and say, because you are so nice and you treat me so well. So that made me feel so special. I could see your health was declining right before my eyes, but you never complained. You kept that same spirit. And Allison always made your day when she came. Those were your happiest moments. I hate I didn't get to say goodbye, but I have a poem for you, my friend. Stairways and memories were a lane. We would walk right up to you, up to heaven, and bring you back again. No farewell words were spoken, no time to say goodbye. You were gone before I knew it, and only God knows why. Our hearts still ache in sadness, and secret tears still flow. What it meant to lose you, no one will ever know. But now we know you want us to mourn for you no more, to remember all the happy times. Life still has much in store. Since you'll never be forgotten, we pledge to you today a hallowed place within our hearts is where you'll always stay. We love you, Regina. Until we meet again, rest in peace.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Angela. That was great. And then Allison, would you come?
Regina and I met about 11 years ago. She was a dog lover, and so am I. And she had 4 small dogs at the time, and I had none because I traveled in my job. I became very attached to her dogs and would often have 1 or 2 of them stay with me at my apartment on the weekend. We both wanted someone to go places with, too, and do things with. Regina called it having adventures. And she called those our day trips, and sometimes we took longer trips. She was a good friend. I lived alone, and twice over the years, I had an illness or a surgery that kept me home recuperating for 3 or 4 weeks. I always planned to just take care of myself and said I'd be fine by myself, but she insisted that I come stay with her. She took me to the doctor and did errands for me and cooked meals for me. And we did take some fun trips together over the years, to the wineries in North Carolina and to Disney World, which she loved and had visited several times. And we also went to upstate New York, New York City, and Niagara Falls, and had a wonderful time sightseeing in the beautiful parts of Western New York and Canada. Sadly, Regina struggled with clinical depression all her adult life, as did her mother. Regina could be transformed by an optimistic person or a person of faith who spent time with her. And of course, the opposite type of person could have the opposite effect on her. And I appreciate, but all of you who are here today cared about her and had a positive effect on her life. And I appreciate that more than you know, as does her nephew, Philip. Regina appreciated all of you, and I hope that she told you at times, but if she didn't, please know that she did appreciate you because she told me more than once. Thank you all for making the time and putting forth the effort to come today to pay your respects to Regina.
So, Allison, could you lead us now in Abide With Me?
Yes.
abide with me. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's faint shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me.
When a friend passes away, it's good to gather together to people to come near and to be together as we remember her. Sometimes we need to mourn alone, but we also need to grieve with other people. And I want to look at a passage this morning that shows how Jesus shows himself as the extraordinary one who comes near to us and in compassion and wisdom helps us to grieve. Some of us might be familiar with the account of Jesus coming to Mary and Martha on the occasion of Lazarus's death. The narrative speaks to this many situations and topics, but I'd like to just focus on how Jesus comes to Mary and to Martha to comfort them, to instruct them, to grow their faith. But we really see Jesus' compassion expressed towards them with great wisdom and great love. So let me read. Up until this point, Lazarus has died and Jesus is coming into town. I'll read the first paragraph from John 11. And then the second one later. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." We know from an earlier account in John that Martha is a thinker and a doer. She's a concrete woman that with settled ideas and practices. And so Jesus comes into town and Martha goes out to meet him, and they're friends. And especially at this time, she wants to be with him more than anyone in this time of grief. And so she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." That's an amazing statement of her faith in what Jesus can do. Somehow, in some way, she is ascribing to Jesus the capacity that he could have intervened in the natural process of sickness and that led to Lazarus's death. But even more, she's expecting or hoping that Jesus might do something even now in this terrible situation. For she says, "But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus, the compassionate teacher, the wise counselor, sees Martha is at a place where engagement about spiritual reality cognitive discussion about life and death and new life after death is what Martha needs and wants. We all have different sort of personalities, right? Different ways that we process grief, different ways that we respond to painful situations, different ways of processing. Jesus perceives that Martha will find great comfort and comfort in a spiritual discussion about spiritual content. And so they have this discussion, and yes, there's three back and forths of discussion here. Martha's having a conversation with Jesus about life and death and life after death. I wonder if any of us here are similar to Martha. Is there a discussion with Jesus that you'd like to have that would help you process your grief? How does Jesus respond to Martha's statement? Jesus simply says, "Your brother will rise again." To our modern, skeptical, perhaps, ears, that sounds at least incredible, and maybe it even sounds cruel. But that's not how Martha takes it. Martha says to him, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." To rise from the dead in the resurrection on the last day, it's not a spiritual platitude for Martha or a comforting fiction. It's a central part of her worldview, the worldview of both faithful Jews and Jewish followers of Jesus. And so in this context of Lazarus' death, Jesus is engaging Martha in a lamenting dialogue, in a sense, about spiritual and personal truths. And what a discussion it is. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus isn't subtle here, because he's in the midst of grief for Martha. Jesus isn't subtle here because he knows Martha can handle it. This is part of Jesus' compassionate wisdom, even in the midst of the grief that she's experiencing. Jesus is, through conversation, refining and crafting and nurturing Martha's faith. Faith not just in a resurrection that God will bring about at some point, but the specifics that the resurrection takes place in Jesus and through him. Martha's hope for Lazarus is resurrection on the last day because he's died. But Jesus is asserting that he's the resurrection and the life right now. And then amazingly, Jesus says to her, "Do you believe this?" Jesus is querying her faith. Does she have faith? Where is it? Jesus knows both the approach that will lead her to comfort in her grief, but he also knows when the best thing for us is to press us further on what we need to hear and what will yield to us the greatest comfort. And so Jesus is having this spiritual dialogue, but he's pressing her also. He wants her faith to grow. Faith further refined will help Martha in this situation of grief. And so Jesus is leading her through a process where her faith will be built. And then it's not hard to see from Martha's response to Jesus that she's leaving this conversation with her grief having been eased, having been sort of contained. At least partially, her grief has been healed. Jesus has entered into Martha's mourning. And knowing her, he's walked with her in her suffering. But he has also quenched at least some of the bitterness of that suffering. And he's matured her faith, not just in a general theological resurrection, but in the personal, real resurrection life of life after death with him. Jesus knows us. He's willing to come close and meet us in our hour of grief. And then we come to Martha. Let me read 28 to 37. When Jesus had said this, Martha went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" So Martha found comfort in this dialogue, this conversation with Jesus. And so she goes and calls her sister Mary, and Mary comes to encourages Mary to go to Jesus. And, you know, the text says Martha went and met Jesus, but the text says that Mary saw him and fell at his feet. Mary's a very different person than Martha. Mary's much more emotionally driven and reflective. But amazingly, Mary says the same thing to Jesus that Martha did. The exact same words. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But Jesus' response is completely different. There's no discussion or conversation or spiritual dialogue. Jesus sees her weeping, and he is deeply moved and troubled. The word for deeply moved here has an aspect of sternness and anger in it. It's a word of strong emotional response. But Jesus isn't mad at Mary. Jesus is mad at death and what death does. Death was not God's desire. Death is an intruder in God's world, an enemy that Jesus is fighting and will conquer in his resurrection. But now here with Mary, he's entering into her grief by grieving himself. He's letting the whole situation of Lazarus' death be an example of how much death wreaks havoc on the world and how angry he is that death does that, because it's not what God intended. The only thing that he says is, "Where have they laid him?" There's no conversation. There's no back and forth. Then there's just Jesus weeping with Mary. The word for Jesus weeping is, it's only used in this passage, nowhere else in the whole Bible. And it's perhaps to say that Jesus is doing this unique aspect of weeping over death's presence in the world. He's engaging with Mary, not just in human grief, but as the Son of God, he's engaging in compassion and sympathy with her. But also, he's angry with what death does to us in the world. Death breaks relationship. It ends what God's designed, and Jesus is upset at that. Jesus is, as it were, weeping for all humanity over the situation where death reigns in this world. So we have these two women coming to Jesus, the same situation of Lazarus' death, the same time, the same words they both speak to Jesus. But Jesus responds to these two women very differently. With Martha, lots of words. With Mary, hardly any. With Martha, a discussion. With Mary, coming near and crying with her. With Martha, the mind. With Mary, the heart. The point is, Jesus knows how to come near to each one of us in our grief, in our confusion, in our reflecting on life, in trying to make sense of life and death. Jesus is here with us now. He is the one with compassionate wisdom and wise mercy. He is the one who has both true love and loving truth for us. And so I just encourage us to let him draw near to each one of us. Let him enter into our grieving to lead us in understanding, to engage our hearts and minds, as he did here, Mary and Martha, in very different ways, but very personalized ways to who they were. But we also should not end without considering the question of the crowd at the very end. Some say in verse 36, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" In the story, many of us know what Jesus will do. He will call Lazarus out of the grave. He'll say, "Lazarus, come forth." He'll raise Lazarus back to life. That miracle testifies to Jesus' power, to his divine nature, to his love for Lazarus, to his compassion for Martha and Mary. but it also points beyond that to how Jesus will shortly conquer death by his death on the cross and by his resurrection on the third day. Lazarus is alive again, but Lazarus is still going to die. Jesus knows that our human situation is not that we need to just be kept alive, as the question in 36 and 37 says, or kept from dying, but we need someone to restore to us a life so strong and so superabounding that we might have life with God everlasting. We need someone that can defeat death on our behalf. And that's what Jesus does in verse 25. With tears, with wisdom, with compassion and strength, he says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So let, on the one hand, the compassionate Jesus draw near to you, and he knows our personalities. Let him lead us, shepherd us in our grieving and our confusion and walking with him. But also let him show us that he's the one who's conquered death, that we don't need to just be kept alive. We need someone to take us through death, to have an everlasting life with God Almighty. And Jesus has done that in his death and resurrection. Father, we thank you that you've gathered us here on this occasion of Regina's death. Lord, we thank you also for this picture in the scriptures of Jesus being the extraordinary one that comes near to us in our grief, that he has both the compassion and the wisdom, both the love and the truth to enter in and to take us by the hand and walk with us personally through the things that we're feeling and thinking and going through. Jesus, would you come near to us? We need your life. We need your resurrection, your life to come near to us and walk with us. Life and death is much more complicated than we are able to understand. Would you come and teach us a few things? Speak with us. Give us your wisdom and compassion this morning, this afternoon. And Lord, we pray that you might, even as you grew faith in Martha, that you might grow faith in each of us, that you might be pleased to nurture us in knowing you and knowing your resurrection life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now would you lead us in Amazing Grace?
I think everyone knows this one. Maybe not every word. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
Benediction means the good word, and so receive God's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.